Last week we talked about complaining and how God's people missed the promised land due to complaining, complaining to God, complaining to Moses, even going so far as to say, let's elect a new leader, okay? Let's elect a new leader, and he's going to take us back into slavery in Egypt. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to be that guy. You know, I wouldn't want to be that guy that everybody said, there's the guy that's destined to take us right back into slavery. If that's not a leader that can take us back into slavery, I don't know who is. Probably not the statue that you want of yourself. You know, here's Bob. He led us into slavery. We love Bob. You know, and every year they celebrate St. Bob's Day or whatever it might be. That's not exactly what I would want to be known for, but that's how ridiculous that it got. And you know something, if we're not real careful, we can get into such a complaining mode that we miss what God has in store for us as people, okay, individual persons, as well as a body, those who are part of Gateway or those who are Christ followers. And we really need to guard against that. And so we talked about that we wanted to make this 21-day commitment to not complain. Now then, I would have a hard time believing, since I know many of you in this room, that you actually have made it 7 days without one single complaint, one single whatever. But if you have, I stand amazed in your presence, all right? But I think it's a good thing just to remind us that whether we make the 21 days or not is really not the issue. The issue is that we really make sure that we keep the big picture in mind. Because we get so into ourselves that we forget that in the United States of America, we've got it pretty good. Are there some areas that we need work on? You better believe it. There are some things within the city of Cleveland that are deplorable that we as a church are working to try to make better. But you know something, when it really comes down to it, we've got to be so careful that we don't miss what God has for us because we just get into this thing of perpetually complaining. So that's what we talked about last week. So there's nothing like going from talking about complaining to talking about money, right? I mean, that's exactly the transition that you came for this morning. And if you're new to Gateway, we don't talk a whole lot about finances and that sort of thing. So if you invited someone, you're like, great, the day they finally come, we're talking about money. We're talking a little bit about money, but we're really talking about stewardship. And I think that's something that all of us need to work on, okay? All of us spend money probably where we shouldn't, and on things we shouldn't, and sometimes we get caught and we're like, wow, I shouldn't have done that. And so I think it's good just to remind us. I will tell you this, Jesus talked about stewardship more than heaven. He talked about stewardship more than hell. He talked about stewardship more than heaven and hell combined, which tells me this, it's important, okay? So if Jesus talked about it, we're going to talk about it. John chapter 6, let's look at verses 1 through 13. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he had healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. Just want to talk to you a little bit about kind of where we are in the process. Most of you know that we are looking to launch a cafe and coffee house here in downtown Cleveland, and we've been looking at one particular building for that vision to come to fruition. It does not look like that we're going to be able to be there. It looks like another tenant is going to kind of beat us to the punch, and I was a little bit disturbed by that because I'm like, wow, we've done a lot you know, with that particular building, God, what are you up to here? And I can't say exactly what the thing is, but as we've talked it over amongst our leadership team, you know, we've all agreed that, you know, that particular building really got us moving. And if that's what God used it for to get us going, then so be it. Now then, I know in commercial real estate, because I've watched this, and then I have some friends who are involved in a lot of those things, and they've told me, man, these things take on 1,000 different lives. This thing could be sold tomorrow and then come back on the market the very next day and then gone again and then back again. And really where we need to be focusing on, quite honestly, is on the area of fundraising and getting that going so that when we do find the space that God has for us, that we're ready to go. So we've already got teams in place that are working towards that end, everything from general design to marketing to fundraising. If you want to be a part of any of those teams, you'll see that there's a little card there in front of you. I will tell you that the general design and aesthetics team, I think, is basically full, if I'm not mistaken, Carrie. I think we would both agree with that. But if there's anything else on there that you want to help us out with, we want you to be a part of this process, okay? Some teams are going to have to go to work like now, as in yesterday, and some teams it will be kind of this process, and you'll be doing work after we launch this, okay? So I wanted to just kind of update you on where we are. I was a little bit concerned that our video is really tied to that 515 building, but I also knew if we made a generic video, then it would just look like we work for Positively Cleveland and we're just showing off downtown Cleveland. Okay, we didn't really need to do a video for them, and they've already done that. And so I thought, you know, what is this gonna be like? And one of our attendees took the video to a Cleveland businessman and showed it to him and said, "Now, it doesn't look like we're gonna be able to be in there in that building." And you could just tell, he told me, he said, they didn't care about that part of it. They were looking at the vision, and what the report came back to me is, you know, the guys and the ladies who have been in this position before of launching out into a vision can tell you all of the things that went wrong. The vision was right, but, you know, what they had counted on or the people they had counted on, it would fall through, or the building they had planned on doing or the one that they had planned on buying or renting fell through, and they were like, that's really immaterial. What they're looking at is the vision. So we're going to kind of talk through these things, but I really want us to focus in on this scripture this morning, and it's just kind of some lessons learned through this scripture, and it also applies to us today and exactly what we're going through. So what I want you to look at what we're about to talk about is through the lens of how it applies to you, okay? Certainly how it applied to these people when Jesus was around physically, and then how it also applies to us today. All right, how it applies to us as Gateway Church. So here's what we know, and we've talked about this before. We cannot do this unless God intervenes. We're not at the point where we can say, hey, we'll just raise all the funds in-house, and you know, we've got, you know, multimillionaires, right? You guys are all right. You're not? What? You're like, man, I'm still paying off my school loan. What are you talking about? That's who's the millionaires, is my school. I'm well aware of that, okay? And I think you are too. If you've taken, you know, a left or right around the room, you're probably like, okay, these are sharp people, but I'm thinking that they're not there yet. We're well aware of that. That's why I think it's a great thing that if and when this does come about, this will be a God story. And I think that if we can always explain what happened, then we just remove God out of the equation, and what do we need him for? So where we've placed ourselves is totally at God's mercy. That God, the only way that we can really pull this off to be a church in the marketplace is if you intervene. And you know something? That's exactly what happened in Scripture, isn't it? What happened? Jesus goes to Philip and says, hey, Philip, what do you think, man? Don't you think we ought to feed all these people? They're hungry. And Philip's looking around going, we counted the men, and just the men alone was 5,000 people. You add women and children, we're talking 15, 20,000 people. Jesus, we could work for months and never have enough money to give them even some bread, let alone a meal of any kind. And then Andrew says, well, you know, the only thing I've been able to find is this little boy, and, you know, he's got some barley loaves, which the barley loaves, you know, are not like when you go to Giant Eagle and you get a loaf of bread, okay? That's not it. What it is just kind of think of a little bit larger than the thickness of a pancake, about the size of your thumb, okay? almost like some cornbread, that sort of thing. And it would they would make it into basically a round plate-sized loaf, okay? So that's what they mean, is something about like this. So you can imagine five of these around and a couple of fish. And you know something? Jesus just looks at them and says, tell the people to sit down. So they have them all sit down. And you know what happened? God intervened. And they were at a point where it was like, well, if we're going to feed these people, we can't do it ourselves. The disciples quickly learned that. You know, I'm the kind of person that I like to be a little sarcastic just to poke fun at people. And I wish that I could just kind of make some videos of clips from back then, you know, when Jesus was talking to his disciples and Andrew, you know, would be like, well, Jesus, I could only find this boy and he has five loaves and two fish, but what could we do with that? You know, I always wanted to be the sarcastic guy that they panned away to. And I was like, I don't know, maybe we'll use Jesus, Andrew, or something. You know, I always wanted to be kind of that guy just to kind of rag the disciples. But you know something? I'm more like what the disciples are in my life than sometimes what I want to be with the sarcastic guy that just knows if Jesus shows up, everything's good. And I'm usually more like the disciples that I go, well, what can you do with this? There's not much here. And you know something? When we start learning that when we take on faith-sized things, okay, when we take on God-sized things, it takes who? It takes God. And if it can be explained by a group of people, I'm not so sure that they needed God. And that's where we sit at this point. That's why we've talked about this before. Work like it depends on us and pray like it depends on God. I've seen some people that will swing the pendulum and say like, well, if God's in it, then he's just going to have it appear. And I'm like, well, do we not do anything in the process? No, it's just going to, you know, woo. And I'm going, you know, I don't find that in Scripture, because what did Jesus do? He used the disciples to do a few things, didn't he? He said, hey, why don't you have them sit down? Jesus could have done that, right? He could have given out the holy holler, right? And been like, hey, everybody, sit down, you know? He could have done that. He deferred it to them, and they all sat down. And then he said, hey, guys, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer here, and then I want you to take the fish, and I want you to take the bread to the people. Now, Jesus could have done it miraculously, couldn't he? I mean, if he's going to feed 5,000 men plus women and children, he could have just gone, you know, and whoom, and there it is, you know, white tablecloth, you know, they're ready to go. They're getting forks and knives, and like, what are forks and knives? We've never seen such utensils before, right? Okay, and Jesus is like, that's for later. You know, many generations to come will thank you for this day. But he didn't do that. He could have. I mean, if you're going to do the rest of it, why didn't he do that part? Because he knew the value of them taking part in it. That's why it's important that we work like it depends on us and pray like it depends on God. Here's the next thing that we can learn from this. Calculations which leave out Christ's power always come up short. When you begin to look at things from just a financial perspective or a numbers perspective or anything like that, and you leave out God, when it's talking about faith-sized things and God-sized things, it will always be short. It will always be short. I remember back to when we were thinking and praying about launching this church downtown, and you know, as I look back now, the ridiculousness of it, okay, of going, why are we, you know, we're going to go downtown. Some people were trying to say to me, I wouldn't do that. That's kind of a shaky territory. I don't know. I just don't see people really responding. And, you know, if I'd have listened to that, I'd have been like, well, they're right, man. You know, the calculations just don't add up. We're not taking a group of 50 from another church and starting a church. It's me and my wife, and then along came Jason and Carrie, and then a few more, and now then, look at what God is doing in downtown. See, it would have been very easy to look at the calculation and say, I don't see how this would add up. But it always comes up short when you leave out Christ. Always. It will always come up short. Here's the next thing we need to do is take stock of your resources. You may say, well, Alex, you don't understand. I don't have anything. Yes, you do. No, you don't understand. I don't have anything. Yes, you do. Compared to about 15,000, 20,000 people and you have five loaves and two fish, I guarantee you, if we did inventory of your life, you'd say, well, I do have 5 loaves and 2 fish, which is not saying much, right? It's like the ramen noodles, you know, of a college student, right? If you got ramen noodles, man, you can eat for weeks. You know what I'm saying? You can survive a whole semester off those things. And many of you are laughing right now because you're like, that was me. I will never eat those again. I got so sick of them. But you made it through it, didn't you? And you know, when we look at what Christ did in this passage, you take stock of your resources. See, a lot of times what we do is we look at what we don't have. And that's what we continue to look at. Well, you know, one of these days when I have money, and well, one of these days once I get married, well, one of these days when... And if you play that game your whole life, one of these days will never, ever happen. You need to look around. I need to look around. We need to look around and say, what resources do we have? And let's not talk about what we don't have. Let's talk about what we do have. And when you begin to look at that, you notice that it was Andrew who goes, all right, Jesus, here's the deal. 5 loaves, 2 fish from a little boy. That's all we got. I don't see how this is going to happen. Well, you know, as much as we may knock Andrew for a lack of faith, Andrew's the only one that brought it up. And I think it's because the rest of them pushed him ahead. It's like, here, you go to him with this lame brain idea. You know, you're the one that said what we had. And did you notice that Jesus didn't ridicule him and go, well, that was stupid thinking, Andrew. Andrew, there's 20,000 people, and you're bringing me 5 loaves and 2 fish. You're so dumb. Why do I hang around you? Do you notice that? I really have a feeling, since Simon Peter was always the brash one, okay, if you know your scripture, you know he was always the most outspoken one. I think he looked at his brother and said, hey, man, why don't you go up there and tell him we got 5 loaves and 2 fish? See what he says. And I think he was back in the background going, hey, guys, watch. I'm like, he's not real bright. I'm making him go up there and do this. Watch this. Now I'm reading a lot into it, but I can tell you this much. For some reason, Simon Peter was silent. He didn't say this one. Andrew was like, I know I'm not the brash one, but guess what? This is all we've got. Now, why that boy was there, I don't know. Was he selling those things? It's kind of like a vendor. Did his mom kind of pack him a Happy Meal that day, you know, and send it off? But I think what's left out here a lot of times is this. The boy offered up what he had, didn't he? We found this one boy, and he says we can have his stuff, is basically what Andrew says. Now, I can only imagine him in his mind probably thinking, when I get home, my mom is going to kill me when I tell her I gave away my food, you know? And then again, maybe he had a really godly mother who would have said, you're a good boy. You gave it to people that were hungry. Let's move on. Hand over what you have, not what you don't have. See, a lot of times we sit around talking about what we don't have. Hand over what you have. What did the little boy do? The little boy said, here it is. We don't know the conversation it went on. Don't know how it came about. But for some reason, Andrew even says, we have a little boy here who has 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what is that? Little boy was willing to give over what he had. Next lesson learned is this. Those who feed others will bring back baskets overflowing with God's goodness. You know what the disciples were doing? They were working along with Jesus, right? They were working with him. And what did they get to take part in? Not only did they distribute it, then Jesus said, go back and take back over what's left over. Now, I know that a lot of times our translations kind of say leftovers, and when you and I think of leftovers, we think of like, is this stuff already been chewed on? You know, is it ABC food already been chewed on? You know, I don't know that I would want that back. You know, has someone, you know, gotten a lot of gunk on it from their teeth and now we're getting it back? What this literally means is this. The fragments that were broken by Christ but never eaten by the people. And guess what these disciples got to be part of? Not only feeding the people, but then coming back before Jesus and going, wow, this is stuff that you broke apart, but no one ever even touched it. This is what's left over. And you know something? You and I are going to get to participate in this as we begin to walk out in this direction. Here's what you will get to be a part of. You will get to watch those things happen, and you'll get to be the person bringing back the overflowing goodness. from God. That's powerful. It's something you'll never forget. I can only imagine this little boy all of his life, even as a grandfather, saying, "Kids, did I ever tell you about the time that I gave my 5 loaves?" And I'm like, "Oh, yes, Grandpa, we've heard it." And you can imagine, you know, he probably started at 20,000 people, and by the time he died, you know, it was like, there must have been 1 million people out there, you know. I mean, you just know, you know, it just keeps getting bigger, but probably more reality than it was fibbing. And imagine for that little boy what this meant, because here's the point. Those who give get the most out of the miracle. See, everybody that was a receiver, I mean, it was a good thing, right? Okay, the cafe and coffee house that we're looking at doing, there's a lot of people that's going to receive a lot from that. But the people that get to bring back the baskets of overflowing God's goodness in them, that's big. But even bigger is the little boy who gave. That's big. Because he got more from that miracle than anybody else did. He got to go home and tell his mom, Mom, you're not going to believe it. Here's what happened. I'm sure she was like, "Now, Johnny, I've told you about storytelling before, you know. No, really, come look. Everybody will tell you. There's probably 20,000 people there." "Oh, Johnny, how many times have I got to tell you about that line, you know?" "No, really. He got the most out of it. I want us to look at a few things here practically and just kind of where we're at in the fundraising, regardless of which space that we end up in. As we've kind of crunched the numbers and everything else, we've had an architect look at it, a general contractor look at it, several Cleveland businessmen look at it. I feel very confident in this number, knowing that we'll be able to do it for this. We may find a space that we can virtually walk into and we don't have as many costs involved. But this is where it was looking if we would have been in just a shell of a building, which is what the 515 is at this time. It's got 4 walls and concrete, and that's about it. And so if we were having to build out everything, this is what we're looking at, okay? That's the number, $425,000 that we need to raise. And so let's all gasp, because years from now, I want to say, when I said the number, they all gasped. Ready? 1, 2, 3. You didn't participate. Ready? 1, 2, 3. There. Very good. See, years from now, I want to say, we announced the number and they all gasped, okay? And you will know, no, we did not. He made us gasp. But you did. I just didn't tell that part of the story. $425,000 is what we feel like we need to raise, okay? And you may say, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? I have no idea. That's why I'm here talking to you. And actually, I really do have no idea. No, we actually do have a fundraising strategy, but let's face it, strategies look great on paper, don't they? What we've got to have is this. There are other people that I know and feel like are going to support this, okay? We've sat down with some local Cleveland businessmen who just absolutely love this idea. Spoke with a guy the other day and talked with him about the vision, and he said, "I love this. I love this for Cleveland." He said, "What do I need to do?" And I said, "I need access to your network." Now, if you've been in the business realm at all, do you understand what my question is? What I'm saying is, I want you to give me names and numbers of people so that I can go and ask them for money based upon the fact that you gave me their name and number, okay? That's a pretty big question. And he looked at me and he said, "Well," and I thought, uh-oh, he's not that on board, okay? He loves it for me, not for him, you know? And which was fine. And he said, "I tell you what," he said, "I can do that." But he said, "What about this?" He said, "Let's kind of think creatively here." And I'm thinking, okay, creative may mean how can he get out of this that he's just asked me, what can I do? And so he looks at me and he says, "I tell you what, why don't I host, he's talking about himself, he said, "Why don't I host a fundraiser at the Union Club, and I'll invite all of my business contacts." And he said, "Here's the problem." He said, "If we invite 50 business leaders, we're going to get 25 just because of schedules." And he said, "I know some people down in Akron and Canton, they may not be able to come up, you know, for something." He's like, "Is there a way that we could hook up through the web or video conferencing or something like that to make sure that we maximize this thing?" And I wanted my jaw to drop, but I try as a pastor never to look surprised, okay? So I'm like, "That's a great idea, you know? I wanted to hug him right in the middle of Starbucks, but I knew that was not appropriate. And so I was like, wow. I was like, that would be great. And he said, let me think about this and let me start to kind of put some things together. So this number didn't scare him. Part of me kind of gets scared with this sort of stuff because it's just so arbitrary. It's like, where did we get this number? We really did spend weeks and months on coming up with that, that's where we are. But I have good news for you this morning. That's not really the number that we need to get to. Because of the faithfulness of your giving and because of some of our outside contributors and stuff, this is now the number. And you're like, hey, we have $10,000. Yes, we do, kids, all right? It's exciting, isn't it? So it's good stuff. And I'm always excited when things like that happen. And so I just want you to know that because of the faithfulness of your giving and because of those outside sources, that is where we are. But I have even better news. Because of the faithfulness of your giving and because of outside sources, this is now the number. You may say, is he getting fed in something through his ear telling him how much money we are now getting? No. It's all a plan, my friend. All a plan. So we started at 425. We're now at 405. We've just knocked off $20,000, okay? $20,000. In other words, that's about what? Close to 5%, okay, of that space. We're getting somewhere, all right? We're getting somewhere. You're like, hey, that's pretty good. What else can you do? I'm so glad you asked. Because of the faithfulness of your giving and because of some of our outside sources, that is now the number. And you're saying, keep going. Yeah, I feel like I'm on Price is Right. Higher, or actually lower, right? Right? Not higher. Higher money, lower price. There we go. I always wanted to be on the Price is Right. If you all ever want to be on the Price is Right, I want to get on the Price is Right sometime. I think Drew Carey would be nice to me since we're from Cleveland. That's why I think that I should be on there. But because of the faithfulness of your giving and because of our outside sources, we're down to 385. And you're saying, keep going. You know, it's like being at a football game and you're watching them and you're thinking he'll never get to the touchdown and you're going, go. And it's a lumbering lineman and he's slow, but he's big, you know. No one wants to get in his way. Everybody just wants to trip him from behind. No one wants to hit him from the front side. And so because of the faithfulness of your giving and because of the outside sources, that's the number, 375. In other words, $50,000, okay? $50,000 has already been secured, ready to go. That means we're over 10% of the way there. Here's what will also intrigue you. Because we're on the internet and iTunes and all that good stuff that our great technology people put together for us, someone heard our podcast, told one of the local pastors here in Cleveland about us. He emailed me a couple weeks ago when we met. He said, I want to hear about this vision. So we talked and he said, I don't have a whole lot, but he said, I want to give you something. And I said, okay, I never refuse money. Well, you don't either, so don't look at me weird. And so he said, this is what I want to do. He said, I don't have a whole lot, but, you know, he said, I believe in what you're trying to do here, and I love it for Cleveland. And I have a church out in Mentor, okay, so it's not like a very close suburb. It's a little ways out. And he said, I got $100. He said, I would like to give that towards what you all are trying to do. And I was like, whoa. And because I pretty much know how much pastors make. I would know these things, okay, especially in his position. I was like, man, you don't have to do that. And he said, no, I want to do that. And he said, I'm going to start telling people that go to our church that work downtown here to help get behind this thing, at least word of mouth, if that's all it is, and praying. And I said, man, that's terrific. I was like, that is not what I expected at all. And here's the other interesting thing. A few weeks ago when we unveiled this vision, we had a church group in here from Virginia. Some of you may remember that team. They were in here doing some mission work and that sort of thing. And there was a young lady there helping out for the summer. She's a college intern. And if anyone knows anything about an intern really means this. You're going to get paid nothing, Jack. Okay, that's what intern really means. As much as they flower it up and say you're going to learn all kinds of things, yeah, you may do that, but they're not going to pay you anything. All right, that's what an intern literally means. And so she listened to the vision and everything else. And at the end of the service, as I was standing back there, she walked by and she handed me an envelope. And I didn't know, you know, really what was in it. I just put it in my back pocket and thanking everybody as they're leaving and being here and stuff. And get home and everything else. And I look on it and I thought it, you know, might be an offering or something like that. And she had placed inside that envelope $20 for Nexus. The very first person to give to that mission, to Nexus, to that cafe and coffee house, was a college intern that you and I both know didn't have that really. And when I read this story about the five loaves and two fish, I was like, okay, God, I don't really want to read too much into it and too dramatic of a fashion here, but the $20 is about the comparison of five loaves and two fish as it relates to this kind of number, isn't it? And I thought it's so interesting to me that it wasn't some big-time person that rolled in with some money. It wasn't me. It wasn't some of our leadership team or whatever else. It was a college intern from Virginia who will probably never see us again that heard the vision and was like, I want to give to that. I want to give to that. So our number, if I can press this thing right, is actually that because of their giving. I want you to know something, and this is what I talked to you about earlier. Tim Sanders, who was the chief solutions officer for Yahoo, said this, and you heard me talk about it last week. He said, your network is your net worth. You know, if you've ever been through financial planning, you know, you figure out that you're worth more dead than you are alive, okay? You know, and you work through that financial planning and you find out, hey, here's what your net worth is, okay? And Tim said, you know, you really need to broaden that out because that's really not true. While it is financially for a bank and that sort of thing, that's a very small way of looking at yourself. He said, you really, your net worth is your network. And that's why I believe this. It's not all in our pockets, but it is in our network. And I really believe that as we move forward, that's how God's going to provide. How will he do it? I have no idea. I have no idea. But I want to challenge all of us to work like it depends on us and pray like it depends on God. What I'm going to equip you to do over the next couple of weeks, this is very simple, but I'll just kind of remind everybody each week, we're going to have a website that has the video, that has the rendering on it, that has frequently asked questions and a way for people to give. Okay, it'll be called clevelandnexus.com. We've got that secured. We'll be launching that website in the next couple of weeks. We're also going to take a DVD that will have the same exact information as the website. And we will supply you with all of those things. And if you need to take DVDs to somebody that you say, hey, they would rather see the DVD and get the information from there. Or if it's someone that you say, no, I can send them to the website. And then they can watch that vision and take part in it. I will tell you that I'm excited about this, but at the same time, it's kind of like this huge mountain, you know? It's like, whoa, how do you deal with it? It's kind of like cooking an elephant, okay? Anybody ever tried to cook a whole elephant? You can't. Those in the restaurant industry are like, I'm not seeing that happening. You are correct. You got to cut it up in little pieces, okay? You got to cut it up in little pieces just the way that it is. And that's what we need to do. And so we've got a fundraising team we've been putting together. If you want to be a part of that team, we would love to have you. But I will say this to all of us, myself included. All of us are really the fundraisers. And what I'm going to be asked from other business people, and it's going to be one of their first questions, is this. What's Gateway in for? Okay. We're going to pass around some commitment cards. I think that we've got those. Do we have those back there, Carrie? We're going to pass around some commitment cards. I want you to pray about this over the next couple of weeks as to what you can do, whether it's a one-time gift, whether it's a weekly thing, a monthly thing. I'm not asking you to sign it, okay? I don't need to know names, all right? After all, if you can't come through on the deal, what am I going to do, call you up and be like, you know, what is your problem? You know, that's weird, okay? I'm not doing that. But we need a decent idea to know what we can do. Okay, and what I'm going to ask you to do is just think from now to the end of this calendar year, okay? Now to the end of the calendar year, whether that's $5 a week or $10 or, you know, you got a $100 one-time gift, we're going to need to know that, just because as people give towards this, it would really make it tough on Jason if he gets something in for $100 and he's like, is this a one-time gift? Is it a monthly? Is it even a weekly, right? Okay, make it really tough on him. So what he needs to be able to do is kind of be able to watch all those things and know, okay, here's where we basically are. That's why I'm a believer in it's not all in our pockets. I know that. But I think God's going to call us to something. And I just want to remind you, let's not talk about what we don't have. Let's talk about what we do have. All right, let's talk about what resources we do have. And let's maximize those. And I just want you to, over the next couple of weeks, you don't have to fill it out and turn it in this morning. Pray about it. See what God would have you do, okay? And that's where we're going to go from there. I will tell you that there are some people very interested. I don't know what they'll come through on. I have no clue at this point. What I'm going to ask all of us to do is this, that we pray about what God would have us to commit. This is over and above your normal giving, okay? Sherry and I don't have a whole lot. I mean, we wish that we did. We would just pay for all this and be done with it, but we don't. We're going to pray through about what would God have us do, okay? You don't need to be embarrassed about it. If all you have are the 5 loaves and 2 fish and that's what God's placed upon your heart, then do that. You shouldn't feel bad about it, okay? This is not like who can give the biggest gift, all right? This is not a competition. This is, okay, God, what would you have for me? Because here's what I know. We're going to go out and ask some people for some pretty big dollars, and they're going to want to know, what are we doing? Okay? What are we doing? They're not going to expect much. When I tell them that we've already secured this kind of money because of the faithfulness and giving of our Gateway attendees and outside sources, they're going to be really, really surprised. They're going to be really surprised. They're going to say, there's no way a church that's not even a year and a half old can pull that off. And I'm like, well, we have. It is what it is. They're going to be motivated by that. And so what we need to see is, okay, what do we have left? Okay. And then what I would ask you to do, secondly, once you figure out what God would have you do, and again, this is not to make you feel bad about anything. All right. So don't leave here feeling that way. Bring what you have, not what you don't have. Then what we'll do is we'll place in your hands the website, all the materials that you need to help get us in contact. And then what's going to happen is this, our fundraising team will follow up with your contacts, okay? You don't have to feel like, I still don't know enough about it. I've got to find out things. No, we're going to make sure the website has the video, the rendering, all the information. Same thing with the DVD. We're going to make it very, very simple for you. Then when someone contacts us, we're going to have a database where we'll know everyone who's contacted, everyone who's interested, when we followed up with them, when we need to follow up with them, that sort of thing, okay? So you don't need to feel like, oh, this is really big. No, it's a matter of finding those people to put the DVD or the website in front of them, okay? As you walk through life, regardless, okay, just push aside this whole thing with the cafe and coffee house, and let's just talk about us personally. As you walk through life, my challenge to you is to find those God-sized things to be a part of. You've got them through your work. You've got them through your families. Find those things. And don't just sit around getting in a complaining mode like what we talked about last week and talk about what you don't have. Talk about what you do have. Talk about what God has given you. Talk about where God has placed you. Yeah, work may not be exactly what you've always wanted it to be, but you know something? You can always quit and go somewhere else, you know? It's the beauty of the United States of America. You can go do something else, and God may have that for you. And I just wanted us to close in prayer this morning. So if everybody would just bow their heads and close their eyes. And I just wanted us to just take a few moments here to pray about not so much the financial side of things, okay? Because the bottom line is this. This has to be a vision from God, or we don't even need to take part in it. It doesn't matter if it's $5 or $384,880 or whatever. But as we begin to raise those funds, the key question for all of us is this: where is Jesus in all of this? Because the point is not to have a cool cafe and coffee house. The point is not all the great things that can happen through there and the fun times that we'll have and others will have in there. The point is, where is Jesus in this? And I really believe that Jesus has a deep and abiding love for the people of Cleveland. I really believe that Jesus wants to see cities thrive. But he doesn't want to see them thrive without him, because then they will build it as a monument to themselves. And I really believe and have a deep conviction that Jesus is about to do something quite amazing in Cleveland, and it's not just all tied to Gateway Church. There's lots of churches who are doing amazing things. And I really believe God wants to see Cleveland transformed, not just economically and emotionally, but morally, spiritually, all of those things. And so we really need to ask ourselves this question: Jesus, where are you in this? Where are you in this city? How can I be working alongside of you? How can I be one of those people that when you break the bread and you cut up the fish and you send us out with it, I want to be that person that delivers it. I want to be that person that comes back and experiences that overflowing basket. But Jesus, even more so, I want to be like that little boy that gave up the 5 loaves and 2 fish that everybody else thought was insignificant, but with you, our calculations will always come up short if we don't include you. And so, Father, we just come before you now and we ask you to, just like when Jesus asked, he didn't do this on his own accord, but he looked to you and said, Father, bless this food as it goes out. Bless these people. And so, Father, we ask you to now to bless these dollars, to bless this, what we believe to be a vision from you. And God, we just ask you to now that you put it upon the hearts of local Cleveland business leaders, male and female alike, who would get a heart for this, who would really see that, wow, this could be a great thing for Cleveland. And Father, for those who are followers after you that have just been sitting around saying, I want to give to something, but I want to give to something very different. I want to give to something very unique. I want to give something that's going to be long-lasting. That, Father, that we would be in touch with those people. But, Father, most importantly, it really does come back to us. That it's ridiculous for us to go ask somebody else of their resources if we're not willing to give of our own. And so, Father, whether that's $5 or whatever it might be, Father, that we would be a cheerful giver, that we would be someone who's excited about what you're doing in our lives and in Cleveland. And so, Father, we just give this vision back to you. We feel like you've given it to us, but we give it back to you to say, if you want to reshape or restructure, if the space at the 515 building is not our space, then so be it. If that's what you use to get us going, then so be it. But Father, if that's our space, we know that you've already got a contract on it. Father, there's somewhere downtown that if this is your vision, you've already got a contract on a place. And so we look in faith and forward to the day that we'll be in that building and all of us who are a part of this will know, wow, this is impossible without God. And it'll be a God story that we can not only tell our children, but our grandchildren, and be like that little boy who probably for decades told everyone he could tell, did you see what happened when I gave? Did you see what happened when I gave what I had, not what I didn't have? And so, Father, make us like that little boy, willing to give you what we have. And Father, quite honestly, as a pastor, I don't know if this will work. I'm not Jesus. I'm not God. I can't say for absolute certain. But Lord, I just feel like that with everyone that we've shown this to, that those who are believers and those who are non-believers have just said, wow, Cleveland really needs this. And so, Father, we just give it to you. And we just say, do your work. We step out of the way, but we also go with you. So, Father, we just give you our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just take some time to reflect this morning upon God's goodness, the things that he's given us. And maybe you just really need to concentrate this morning on what you have, not what you don't have. That's not just all financial stuff. Think about that. Maybe you just need to take some time this morning thanking God for what he's given you.